new 11 o'clock hour of William Tausch starts now. And it starts where the offense starts, with the quarterback. Now, Brian, I know you and I have had this conversation, Tausch and I've had this conversation on just about every show we have. Except maybe the Madison Money Guy show that we have. When is that on, Jesse? Saturdays?
Yeah, Retirement
Sundays?
Income Strategy, 7 a.m. on 100.5 ESPN. Yeah.
We have not talked about it on that show. But the fact that Jordan Love, he didn't in any way have a bad season. No one thinks that. No one thinks he's a bad quarterback. What I think the feeling is that, based on what we saw to end the 2023 season, we thought he would be better and more consistent and take a bigger step. Anybody wants to have the debate, regression, step back, no step forward, minimal step forward, whatever, however you want to frame that, that's up to you. I don't really care. But because I know there were fans that were very upset that we would suggest that he regressed. But the bottom line is that he was not as good as they needed him to be. And I think what I like about Jordan, as I've said many times, is that I think he takes enough pride and puts enough pressure on himself and is demanding enough of himself that he would agree he wasn't good enough. Injuries, drop passes, all that other stuff notwithstanding, he still needed to be better. And so it all starts with him. And Brian, having played with Rodgers for as long as you did, like, if you have that guy, it's just different. And as of right now, Jordan Love has not shown that he is that type of guy. Now, Tucker Kraft said yesterday that he's the man and he's going to lead us to a Super Bowl. He didn't say necessarily this year, but Tucker Kraft did say that. But if Jordan Love becomes that version of himself, what does that do for a team as a whole?
I mean, I think that Jordan Love gives, I think what Tucker Kraft is trying to get across, that they're extremely, extremely confident with Jordan Love at the helm, right? Like, I think that's, I listened to a little bit of the interview, and I think they feel extremely confident with Jordan Love at the helm. And personally, looking back at last year, right? Like, I'm just going to zoom in on last year. I'm going to take the year prior out of it, because obviously he performed really well his first year as a starter, right? And you look at the last half and it was phenomenal. But we look at last year and, obviously the injuries were part of it, like, and kind of the, the Philly game and the Jacksonville game and kind of the up and down of the injuries and how that played out, that obviously was a factor. And then he kind of came back and he played really well for quite a bit of stretch, right? And then kind of at the end, things kind of like just tapered and kind of went, I don't want to say like just completely south, but they just kind of like tapered. And that was the performance of the entire team, I felt like, offensively, not defensively, but offensively. And then we went into the playoffs and we all remember what happened against Philly. So I look at last year as a whole, and I don't want to say he played poorly, because I don't think that's true. I don't think he played bad. I just think from what we saw, like his first season to what we saw last year, there's a big expectation, right? Like there's a big expectation and it just fell short of that expectation last year. And there, obviously there are factors, and you mentioned the injury and the drops and things like that. But going into this season, I think that expectation remains the same. And I think the guys in the locker room have that same expectation, right? Like, I don't think that expectation has dropped. I think the expectation remains very high. I have that same expectation of him as well, because I think he can play to that level consistently. I really do. I don't think it was a fluke. I don't think it was a mistake. I just think factors of, I'm not giving excuses, but injuries do play a factor. I don't really play a bunch into drops. I don't really look into that much, but I think the injuries, I think that's a part of it. I do think at times he didn't play as well as he should have. I think the turnovers were a big part of it, were a big part of that. His numbers, so to speak, right? Like, I think that was a part of why the statistics weren't what we were used to. And then I think the emergence of Josh Jacobs putting up the numbers he did chipped into that, right? Like, I don't think if Josh Jacobs doesn't have the season he does, I think Jordan Love is asked to do a lot more, and I think those numbers look different as well. So, like, I think you factor all that together and you get the season you do. But I don't think his expectation level in that locker room, and I think for me personally, I think from a lot of people outside the building, I think expect him to have a big season. And quite frankly, I think he will. I think with the weapons that were added, I think with, with the way the offense may be adjusted, I don't think changed, but adjusted to mentality wise and, with maybe play action game and things like that, I think it's going to be a little more tailored to what he was used to in his first year starting. I think we're going to see some bigger numbers. I just do. And I think that he is going to perform to a higher level. I think that first year of making $55 million a year, I think that pressure is gone now. He's no longer like the highest paid QB or whatever it is. That stress is gone now. It's time to just play. And now we can just go out there and be Jordan Love and play to his best ability. There's no comparison in my mind, like, trying to be like Aaron Rodgers or be like Brett Favre. Like, that's junk. Like, he shouldn't even think about that. Like, don't try to be like Aaron Rodgers. No one's going to be like Aaron Rodgers. Like, you shouldn't try to be like Aaron Rodgers. What Aaron did, no one's going to be able to duplicate that. Like, that's why he's a Hall of Famer, right? Like, you got to be the best version of Jordan Love. Be what the Green Bay Packers need right now, and that's the best version of Jordan Love. And if he's able to do that, this team can go very far. Like, and that is the only thing he needs to focus on. And that's what this team needs from him, and that's what the guys in the locker room need from him. And if he's able to do that, man, I think this offense can perform very well.
And Jordan Love thinks he's ready to do that. Here's what he said yesterday about being primed for that opportunity.
For me personally, just continue to improve my playmaking ability, continue to find those instances when, defense might be winning, having everybody covered up, to find ways to scramble, extend plays, use my legs, different instances, move in the pocket, and just keep extending plays. But I think the biggest thing is just that consistency, trying to hit on everything. Taking care of the ball is a huge part of that. Understanding where I need to go with the ball and not forcing it at times, forcing reads and just ball placement accuracy, but just being the best player I can be on every play.
Brian, it sounds like he's taking your advice, being the best version of himself, being the best player he can be.
Yeah, and like you kind of hear what he's talking about, like, and he makes really like note of the mistakes that he kind of made last year, right? Like, he's talking about ball placement and not forcing things and moving around in the pocket and taking what defenses are giving him if things are covered up. Like, those are things that he watched when he was watching Aaron play that Aaron always did, right? Like, and I just got done saying he doesn't need to be Aaron Rodgers, but those are just basic things that he learned watching Aaron, right? Like, and those are things that, like, people can say all quarterbacks should do, but not all quarterbacks do them, right? Like it's so easy to say, but not everyone does them. And like, he know, because he did it his first year, so he knows exactly how it feels and he knows how to do it. I just feel like last year he got out of his element a little bit from doing that, and he did force things at times, and he didn't take what the defense gave him at times, and he got out of his normal rhythm and routine at times as a quarterback, and he made mistakes. And I think this year he's going to get back to being himself. And I think that's why, like, he's going to have a really productive year. Like, cause I think he's going to get back to being the Jordan Love that we're all used to seeing. He's going to get back to, playing his style of football, and obviously staying healthy and moving around is obviously a part of that, right? Like, you can't run if you got a sprained MCL. Like, that's very difficult to do. I understand that. Like, that's important. Or if you got a bad hip flexor or something like that, that's tough to do. But if he's healthy and he's able to move around and move around the pocket and buy time and manipulate rushers and manipulate coverages, yeah, he can do some really special things. And if he's accurate with the football and making correct reads, like, we're going to see the exact same thing we saw his first year. And that was very, very fun to watch. And then you add the run game in on that. it's a tough offense to stop.
He talked about some of the other things he needs to do. We'll hear from him coming up next. The Packers continue to roll on with these ramp-up practices at Ray Nitschke Field. A lot of routes on air. They're really dominating the air so far during this drill.
Air doesn't stand a chance against us.
I really don't. They're blowing them out. We will get back to what's going on at Ray Nitschke Field, and we'll get back to what Jordan Love had to say next. Live with Brian Bulaga as our cousin sub of the day. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Mark Tausch.
I remember the nights when we were young, dumb, and wild, and free. When I closed my eyes, I could see you in my sweatshirt. Dancing around that college bar. These days, I don't know where you are, but I get to.
Practice rolls on from Ray Nitschke Field in Green Bay. Had a brief little rain shower, but that was short. It's gone now and getting into a little 11 on 11 at full speed here, but not in pads as the ramp up practices continue. Another one tomorrow, day off on Saturday, and the first padded practice scheduled for Sunday. Jesse, you heard something else yesterday, which frankly I didn't here live. I was talking, I think, to Bo Melton or to Matthew Golden when Josh Jacobs was the subject of an interesting thing that caught your ear. Is that right?
Yeah. So I guess I'll leave it up to you. Do you want to hear a very cliche Jordan Love clip on what does he do to take the next step next year? Or do you want to hear something kind of saucy from Josh Jacobs on leadership and saying what needs to be said?
Well, you seem to be down on the cliches from the quarterbacks, so I'm going to definitely pick Josh Jacobs. Brian, are you in agreement?
Yep, I'll take the saucy one.
I did kind of want to play this game. Like, if we played the Jordan Love clip, like how many cliches did he say in one clip? And we could probably, it's like seven or eight. That'd be
Very nice, Jesse.
I mean, one step at a time. We're doing the best we can. You know how they all go. Josh Jacobs was much better. So, yes, I'm going to play the Josh Jacobs clip for you. This was pretty good from yesterday.
I feel like, man, you know, one thing about being a leader, it's not always easy. And it's not always doing what's comfortable. Sometimes you got to ruffle feathers. Sometimes we got to hold each other accountable. And that's something that I try to do. I try to say the things that people are afraid to say. You know, and that's whether I'm talking to X or I'm talking to Jordan, it doesn't really matter. Everybody got to be held to a certain type of standard, even myself. You know, so for me, man, I feel like the greatest teams are the teams that's the most closest, but also the teams that hold each other the most accountable. So that's what we try to do, man. We trying to set the standard high. And I feel like to be able to do what we want to do, what we say we want to do, we got to live what we sell. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Nah?
Brian, having been a leader, yeah, Jesse, I don't disagree with you, but be nice to Jordan. He's working toward being more engaging and less cliched.
He's a very nice fella.
Brian, having been a leader and talking about accountability, what did you make of what Josh Jacobs had to say there?
I like it. Yeah, I mean, I like it because there needs to be guys that do that in a locker room. You know what I mean? There needs to be voices like that within a locker room. And whether it's one or two or three guys, there needs to be voices like that that are heard, right? And I'm not saying that every single guy needs to do that, because at some point, some of those voices aren't at their level to be respected enough within that locker room to be heard like that, right? Like they're like I've always said, there's a hierarchy within the locker room where guys can speak like that, where it's respected, right? Like, and not everyone has the same pull that say a Jacobs or an X or a Love has when they speak like that. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, guys can go to them and talk to them and tell them things that then they can speak on. And that's where, if you're able to have guys like that, that are able to speak out and they're able to hold people accountable, and there is no there's no issue where guys are able to have dialogue and do those things, and it's a healthy environment, it's a healthy dialogue, right? And it's not a negative atmosphere, right? Where it doesn't become a negative situation. That's a good thing for a team, right? That you need to be able to have that. Where if it turns into a negative thing, right, then that's where things start to get it could become a problem. But it doesn't sound like that's where this intention is. This, you need that on a football team, because if everyone just sits there and allows everything to happen and guys get away with things that shouldn't be happening and everyone just sits there quiet pat, that's a problem, right? You can't have that. You need to be able to have guys that stand up and speak out when things aren't right and hold guys accountable. And it sounds like that's going to be the case, right? And you need to have your leaders do that. And it sounds, obviously, with Jacobs and McKinney and Jordan Love, those are the guys you want to be able to do that. And to me, this is good for the team. This is very good.
You know, and Brian, we talked to Josh during the offseason program too, and you know, he was quasi apologetic for kind of the way he framed the "we need a true number one wide receiver" thing. And after he got done saying it, I was like, well, in fairness to you, Josh, they did draft a wide receiver in the first round, and he let out this big belly laugh. I said, That's true. So sometimes what he's talking about there, and look, I know that he went straight to all those guys and said, look, man, I was not meant to take a shot at you. But right now where you guys are all at, you aren't that guy. So take what I said as a challenge to become that guy. I mean, he did that before the draft, before they picked Golden. And that goes to the point of saying things that are uncomfortable and guys don't want to hear. And you know this, like whether it's, you know, Abby getting after you for leaving those muddy cleats that you walk the dog in a bad spot or whatever else. It's not always what you say, it's how you say it. And I think Josh Jacobs has a way about it that even if it's something that's, you know, harsh but constructive, he knows how to deliver it. And isn't that what you want from leaders? Are guys that you know they care about you, you know they're coming at you from the right place, even if it's not something that's praising you, it's something that's saying, hey, you got to get your blank together. Let's go here.
100%. Listen, like this league and the business of the NFL it's harsh, and you've been covering it for a long time. Like this is not a, and you want guys to be comfortable and you want guys to be happy and you want guys to succeed. But this isn't making sure everyone is happy and everyone is like feeling like they're the number one guy. Like that, that's just not the case. That's not the case, right? Like that can't be the case. Not everyone is the number one guy. So simply what Jacobs is doing there, I mean, it's very clear. And you said it, he's challenging that room. Well, someone has to be the number one then. Like challenging someone, step out and be the number one guy. Like, and that's really what that was a call out to that room that someone needs to elevate themselves and be the number one. Like everyone says, you know, after he said that, all those, you know, all the guys, you know, in the room, they tweeted something or whatever they call it now, you know, posted something. Well, okay, if that's the way you feel, then elevate and show it, right? Like it's not trying to take digs at people. Like that's not the thing, but each room needs to step up. Like if this is the best we want to be, is be a one and done knockout in the first round, then okay, then this is where we're at, right? Like that's, if that's good enough, then okay, then that's where we're at. But I want better. Other guys on this team want better, and we're going to push. And that's okay to have guys that want to push. And who's going to come along for the ride? Like, and that's really what it is. And there's no problem with Jacobs being that guy because he can back it up. That's the thing. When you got a guy that can back it up and be that guy that can push and do it in a constructive way and challenge, and he's not being negative. Right, he's not being negative and calling guys trash or calling them bad players. He's not doing any of that. It's a simple challenge, and it's being constructive, and it's almost in a positive manner where it's challenging guys to be a better version of themselves. Mm-hmm. And to me, you need guys like that in the locker room. And I like it. I really like it. And for me, like, I think this is only a positive for that locker room. We had guys like that, and they were great for the locker room, man. Like, I mean, obviously there were a lot of vocal guys, but like Sitton and TJ were fantastic. Tay, once he got a little bit older, he was one of those guys. James Jones was one of those guys. Obviously, Aaron was the vocal guy. Aaron was very vocal. But then, you look at the defensive side of the ball, there were a bunch of those guys. Like, Tremont Williams was one of those guys when Wood was there. Wood was silent, but when he spoke, everybody listened. It was when Wood spoke, everyone shut up and just listen to what Wood has to say, because it carries, like, you could hear it in Chicago when Wood spoke. So, you just knew when guys talked, like, certain guys just carry weight. And, like, every locker room needs to have those guys. And it sounds like Jacobs is going to be one of those guys. And it's very valuable to a locker room to have guys that hold people accountable. Yeah.
Jesse's had a really good show. He made a 100% the right call on pivoting to what Josh Jacobs had to say yesterday, with Brian giving us such great insight into what leadership looks like. Won Nelly is next, so I'm assuming that Jesse will not be able to keep this momentum going.
Just getting better every day, Jason. One at a time. Long journey starts with a single step.
Just doing your 111.
Yep.
Even though it's one third. On today's show. All right, well, Jesse will take over with Wo Nelly as practice rolls on. 11 on 11. As Tausch likes to say, Wo Nelly is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Jesse works to keep his hot streak going for today's show with a strong Wo Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Wo Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Speaking of hot streaks, the Milwaukee Brewers, best team in baseball again. Brewers win, Cubs lose yesterday. Tigers got swept by the Pirates. The Brewers back in Seoul. Yeah, thank you, Skeens. Brewers back in sole possession of the best record in Major League Baseball with a day off today before they play the Miami Marlins over the weekend, including the special 3:10 first pitch tomorrow with the Alumni Home Run Derby. Ryan Braun, Carlos Gomez, among those participating.
Norman Thomas?
No, I don't think he's in a fielder. Prince, not anyone else. Brian Bulaga, I wanted to ask you a question. Not about. I know
Brian
you're,
Bulaga's in the home run contest?
He is not. He is not. I'm sure he. You seem like a softball player.
No.
No?
No. All right. I played baseball, but I don't do softball anymore.
I feel like you would be like a good beer league softball kind of guy. Batting cleanup, no. Hitting dingers. Maybe
would
I'm
mess up my golf swing.
Yeah, actually,
Whoa,
you know what?
Nelly!
That's a very fair point. Here's what I wanted to ask you, not about the Brewers. I know you're a big fan, you want to break them down, but the Brewers are a very young team that has now achieved the highest level that they can in Major League Baseball as the best team in baseball. It's different when you're a young team that hasn't achieved postseason experience or success the level of some of the other top contenders, and you play now with a target on your back as opposed to being viewed across the league as the underdog. Have you had an experience in your playing days as part of a young team that went from being the underdog to having a target on your back and what were some of the challenges, if you ever did experience that, that those teams experienced that the Brewers may be facing right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I think it was more so, I mean, I felt that way my junior year at Iowa, like when we had no business really being ranked where we were ranked, you know, when we were ranked so high towards the end of that year, and I felt like we were being more targeted and we would be the ones targeting the higher teams, right? Like it was always at Iowa, it was always we were chasing those, you know, higher ranked teams that were in the top 10. And then at that point in time, we were the top 10 team. And it felt like teams were giving us their best shot every single time when it was normally flipped around and we would be the ones going to Penn State and going to Michigan and going to Ohio State and giving them our best shot. It was, and it felt flipped around. So I understand that. But for the Brewers, like, I wouldn't even worry about that. They're not supposed to be there. Right, they're not supposed to be in that situation. Like, for so if I'm them, just I would block that out. Like, they're not supposed to be better than the Dodgers. They're not supposed to be this team. Like, they don't have that payroll. They don't have that pressure. Like, just keep playing. Right, like who cares about, you know, where they're, you know, they're the best team in baseball right now. Like, that doesn't even matter. Like, just keep playing. Don't worry about the expectations of what they're doing right now. Like, just play ball and don't worry about where you're ranked or where you're at in the NL or like just play. Like, you're going to get to the postseason. Where it's going to be is where it's going to be, because you're going to have to meet those big dogs eventually and where it's going to matter. And that's where this is going to end up meeting, you know, the rubber is going to meet the road. And that's where this thing's going to really, you know, at the end of the day, where this is all going to, you know, come down to. So right now, just continue to play. Don't worry about those other things. And just continue to enjoy this run that you're on, because at the end of the day, in the postseason is where this thing's going to actually matter.
Brian, did you think it helped you guys in 2010 when you were a rookie that you were the underdog the whole way through? You had to win your last two to even get in the playoffs. You had to get Deshaun Jackson with that punt return to keep you guys alive in the playoff hunt that the week you guys lost in New England with Flinney at the quarterback position. And then you guys were basically playing playoff games for the last several weeks of the regular season. You didn't have your target on your back. Nobody, other than maybe you guys being the team that none of those other teams wanted to see in the playoffs, especially Atlanta. Did that help you guys, you think?
I think so. Like, we just looked at it as just play, and we treat every week as like essentially a must-win game, right? Like, that's how, at least that's what the locker room vibe was. That was the messaging from Coach McCarthy, is every week is a playoff game. And no one was really looking at us, at least how, you know, that was, I mean, as a rookie, I had no idea, right? Like, I just kind of looked at it as our record is what it is. I see what the other records are, the teams. I see where the predicted seedings are. We were out of it at that point in time. So it was just like, hey, let's just keep trying to win games and let's see where the chips fall. So, like, no one really expected us to get there. There wasn't all the pressure in the world to like, hey, we couldn't choke, you know, like lose so many games and we choked our way out of the playoffs. It was, hey, if we win, we could get in. And that was kind of the way guys were looking at it. And we got it done. And like, you know, play the Giants and then play the Bears at the end and get in. And it was kind of that underdog mentality that we just play our game, don't have to worry about having any target on our back because no one really expected us to be there. And that was a fun role to play, because after that, we were never really looked at that besides until we went to Atlanta, really. I mean, that was the last time we were really, I think, looked at as an underdog was that. Because I think at Philly, it was pretty close. If you looked at, I think, the odds, and then after that it was Atlanta we were dogs, and then in Chicago I think it was pretty even.
Yep, you're right. Whoa Nelly.
All right, I'm gonna tread carefully here.
Oh dear.
It wasn't just Green Bay Packers coaches and players who were speaking with the media yesterday. Big Ten Media Day took place out in Las Vegas. And Wisconsin Taush? Badgers head coach Luke Fickell was at the podium yesterday afternoon. He addressed the Standard at the University of Wisconsin.
Oh, boy.
Here it is.
Last year was not the standard, right? And it's pretty obvious to be able to say. And really, we're talking about the way that we finished last year. That's not the standard. That's not the expectation by any ways. I was not brought here thinking that that's in any way what it is that we expect at the University of Wisconsin. But I'm not here to dwell upon last year either. But what last year does do is it gives us an opportunity to be able to self-reflect. It gives us an opportunity to recognize things that we need to continue to be able to change. And I think that's what was most important as we attacked December and January for us and our program.
I hear that from head coach Luke Fickell, and I say Brian Bulaga better watch out for Saturday, October 11th, because Wisconsin's on a mission this year, coming for the Iowa Hawkeyes, the Minnesota Golden Gophers, the Nebraska Cornhuskers, the Illinois Fighting Illini, and anyone else in their way in the Big Ten. We're going to get back to resetting the standard this year. I loved that yesterday.
Oh, gosh. Well, I will say at least he's speaking the truth, because as far as I know, Wisconsin football has always been a really, really good program, right? I mean, that was always, when I played at Iowa, that was always the game that I always looked to as a rival game, as like a standard game, like, right? Like, I always looked at Iowa-Wisconsin, very similar programs. It was always a good measuring stick game because Wisconsin was always a good team. They were always ranked inside normally the top 20. It was a good game to go play, and it was a trophy game, so it was a very intense game. So yeah, like, the standard of Wisconsin football right now is well below that. Obviously, I mean, I'm not misspeaking with that, right? I don't
the
think
the standard maintains the standard. The point that Fickell was saying
their
is he recognizes this.
Well,
yeah, last year was not the standard. There is no new standard. We're getting back
not
to the
as good as Iowa.
We're getting back to the Barry Alvarez standard, the Bielema standard.
Okay. We got to relax with the Alvarez standard too. Like, just relax. Getting back to the Alvarez, you got to get to a bowl game before we start talking the Alvarez standard.
Oh, like, come on. Yeah. Got to get to, like, the Paul Chryst standard.
Yeah, first. Like, come on now. Like, you're talking about Bielema and Alvarez standard. You got to get to Chryst, and then you can start to work backwards. Like, just come on.
No, that's the entire point, is not resetting that expectation. The expectation
Jesse,
is to
I thought you were going
to
tread lightly.
Yeah, I'm not anymore. The expectation is to contend for conference championships and to be relevant on the national stage. And right now, they haven't been doing that. And I love that Luke Fickell straight up addressed and said that's not good enough for what we're doing here. He owns
so
it.
Jesse,
he knows it. We're going into this season with that expectation.
Jesse, what happens when they don't reach that standard again this year?
Then there start to be some other conversations, potentially. If there isn't visible improvement or anything you can hang your hat on as measurable growth and success toward that achieving that standard, then you start to have some other conversations.
What is that to you?
Really, it's kind of the same thing that I said going into last season. Signature victory against a top contending team in the Big Ten or Alabama. So Alabama's on the schedule in week three. Uh-huh. You get a win in Tuscaloosa, narrative changes. You're not winning.
You're not winning that game. So
I'm not saying that we are, but contending or pulling up. I mean, there's a lot of good teams on the schedule this year. Oregon, Penn State, Ohio State. I don't think I'm forgetting any to the west of us. No. So if you beat any of those great teams in the Big Ten, that's something you can hang your hat on. Of course, taking care of business against Minnesota, Nebraska, Iowa is pivotal. Illinois got Bielema. There's some juice to that game now. They're on the same level, I'd say, as those other three teams. Like, you got to win some of those games, and you got to contend against the big dogs and preferably win one, so that you can say there is measurable growth and improvement. We see where the vision of this thing is going.
Okay. So, like, 4 wins, 5 wins?
I'm starting to like you.
I'm being dead honest. Like, how many wins?
No, you got to get – nothing short of 6 wins is the expectation. If we're going to the Wisconsin standard, like Luke Fickell just said, you cannot be – ineligible for a bowl game back-to-back years. That's unacceptable.
Time out. The Wisconsin standard was 9 wins always. So, like, let's just start there. That was the Wisconsin standard. It was 9 wins. So, there it is. I'll just tell you that right now. It was 9 wins.
Yeah. They're...
I'll just tell you that right now.
9 wins would be lovely this year. I'm not expecting 9 wins.
They were winning 9 games.
Yes, they were.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, look. There you go. We're out of time. Dang.
I thought this went well. Yeah, it's going to, I think we have a promo with Matt LePay, your, the father that never wanted to be your father, saying Pops. That the schedule is daunting. We'll see. Maybe they will surprise a lot of people. Maybe they'll go down to Tuscaloosa and win, and Brian Bulaga will have to eat his words, but I don't think so. We'll wrap things up next with Brian Bulaga as our cousin's sub of the day. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app, customizable just to you. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today.
All right, we are way over time because Jesse was talking big about Badger football and Brian Bulaga had to put him in his place.
Sorry.
Brian will be back during the Tausch summer sabbatical again on Wednesday next week as a cousin sub again. We've got Strofe coming in tomorrow. We got a cavalcade of great cousin subs for you all week and a half long.
Thank you.
Brian, there's the horn. Almost done with practice. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate you.
Yep, appreciate it.
I will talk to Brian later today on the Homer Hour. You can stay tuned for all of our programming across the course of the day. Thanks for coming along for the ride with us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.